Rejecting tyranny and socialism isn't racism or hatred. It's your duty as an American, from New Hampshire to around the world. It's your host, Keith Hansen.
To the Keith Hansen Show. It's great to be with you on this Thursday evening. I'm your fill-in host, happy fill-in host, Karen Cataline for Keith, and the show is powered by Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. It is, if you can believe it, Thursday, July 9th, 2020. The Keith Hansen Show can be heard each and every weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Global Star Radio Network and its affiliates. And he would like me to remind you, because I know he wants me to do that, KeithHansenShow.com or HagmannReportLive.com is where you can listen to the show, stream it on demand. You can also check out the YouTube archive of the program as well. Just simply perform a YouTube search for The Keith Hansen Show, or you can download the program as a podcast through your favorite podcast app, or iTunes and Spreaker. So I'm a commentator, columnist, talk show host, all-around rabble-rouser, and I do love filling in for Keith Hansen. When he asks me, he doesn't have to twist my arm. I have a wonderful show planned for you. We're going to talk about, I told a pastor friend of mine, because you may know, if you've heard me before on the Keith Hansen Show, that I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. I'm Jewish. I'm one of those minorities within a minority. I'm a Jewish conservative. And I told a pastor friend of mine, now I know the reason I can't be a Christian. He said, oh, I've got to hear this. I said, because you're not allowed to sing in church. And I'm a singer. I am incensed with the unconstitutional, outrageous, and stunningly dictatorial rules that we are seeing, and they are escalating. And of course, those of us in the know knew that they would. They knew that the minute we saw the early stages of tyranny, that we were going to have an escalation regardless of the non-escalation of the virus. If you consider that the virus has a lower death rate than ever before, and if you're just talking about the numbers of people that are testing positive, well, people test positive to all kinds of things if they don't die from it. I don't think it's a reason to shut down the economy, to completely turn the country over to the government, private business, everything else. But we know, you and I, that the masks, which we will talk about, and all the other nonsense is not about the virus. And anybody who's watching realizes that that is so. By the way, just a shameless plug since I'm doing the show today, if you would like to tune in to my show, Spouting Off, I have live call-in talk radio, 2 p.m. Eastern, every Friday, so you can tune in tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. I'll have a whole half an hour of the first show, and then I have a wonderful guest. She's going to tell the story of how she was arrested for not wearing a mask to a county commissioner meeting or something. I think it was a city council meeting somewhere in Florida. And it was a meeting about whether or not to make mask wearing mandatory. And so they arrested her for that. So we're going to have her on tomorrow to talk about that. But in the first half hour, we will have time for your calls if you'd care to. So comments on this or anything else. So the Democrats have spent 3.5 years obsessed with the 2016 election. Now, less than 4 months before the election of November 3rd, 2020, they have refused to even begin the election. I mean, does it feel like we're in an election year? Does it feel like Election Day is 4 months away? It doesn't to me. How come? Everything you've seen since March of this year is part of their presidential campaign and a whole lot more. I don't believe it's only about the presidential campaign. I believe they're going for broke. They are going for broke. Maybe it's because they know that if, God willing, Trump wins again, which, God willing, I hope he does, that they're done. And, you know, it would be lovely if that were true. I'm not so overly optimistic as to think so. But I do think that the presidential campaign started in earnest in March when we got the coronavirus. Now, I don't really care. I mean, I care, but what the origins of the coronavirus was, and I'm sure it was from China, well, we have a lot of people that have been doing business with China, and I'm not going to concern myself with that because, you know, you can understand people by their actions. That's what you can do. And it was quite clear that they just don't want you to know that this campaign has already started in February, March. You just didn't know it. All of it. The insane and ridiculous sudden dictatorial Democrats, more than we've ever seen, the marching in lockstep, the marching in riots, but the march in lockstep and expecting you to follow them, the demonizing anybody who opposes them, disagrees with them, the crashing of the economy, no matter how many people they hurt, they don't seem to care. And yet, isn't it interesting, this is an aside, that they claim that everything they are doing to us, and that's precisely what they're doing it to us, is not only for our own good, but because they are so compassionate and they care so much about our health. Who believes that stuff? Well, unfortunately, there are people who still do. The riots, the looting, the bullying, the intimidation, and the destruction of our historical monuments and our culture is being done by people who never learned a thing about our culture, but they sure do want to destroy it. And they don't care whether you disagree. They've been trained. They've been marinated. That's the word I wanted. They've been marinated in and indoctrinated from early in their school years that America is a terrible country. But you've heard that argument before. I'd like to advance it just a little bit. They're not just dismantling America, which they are doing. They are trying to do it before our very eyes, dismantling America, not just our statues, not just our monuments, which are there because people wanted us to remember something that happened long ago. Now they want to us to forget what happened long ago because they're preparing to put a whole new scenario into our heads. I think you know that. So they're not just dismantling America, but they are disarming America and Americans to leave them targeted, threatened, falsely accused, and defenseless. Let's see, they first wanted to take away our guns, and they've been hard at work at that. They always want to take guns away from law-abiding citizens, never criminals, because to them, we're all the same, don't you know? Collectivism is an ugly, ugly ideology that says that there's no difference between you and me and Charles Manson. There's no difference between Mother Teresa and Ted Bundy. That's what collectivism says. It says it doesn't really matter, but we'll tell you what your worth is based on the color of your skin, based on things that you have no control over, because truly, you don't have any control. We have the control. Sounds a little like the Twilight Zone or the Outer Limits, but I date myself. So not only they want to take away our Second Amendment, and people like Beto O'Rourke and others made it clear that they had every intention of doing so. One of the sad truths is that this left has exposed who they really are. They've been lying all along. So it's just a matter of incrementalist socialist and communist ideology, not that they never meant that. They just didn't want us to think that because they thought they couldn't get away with it. The sad part is they've been getting away with a heck of a lot, and we've been allowing them to. We've been allowing them to walk all over us. Well, let's hope that that's over, because I'm all about, what are we going to do about this? It's not enough to just rant, although I do that pretty well. It's a whole lot more important to know, what are we going to do about this? And I'm hoping at the end of this program, after our guests, I'll have a few thoughts about that. So they don't just take away our guns. They take away our police, because used to be, well, we'll take away your guns because you should trust the police. Well, now they want to take away our police. So who do they want us to trust? Them. Who do they want us to listen to? Them. Who do they want to be the authority in our lives, telling us what we will and won't do, what we can and can't do? Them. They want to take away the rule of law and the enforcement of that law. That's nothing too serious. We're not dealing with anything too terribly serious today. We're just talking about the overthrow of the United States of America. I'm always reminded, and I didn't get this audio to my producer here, about the line in All the President's Men, who tells Woodward and Bernstein, you know, it's not all that important. It just is the free world and everything that we know and love. And of course, that was a show really from the left, a movie from the left. I didn't know that at the time. I never had any love for Nixon, but I digress. So that's what these people are really willing to do, to get rid of the one country and the one president that substantially stands in the way of what they're really after. None of what they're doing now, from the virus and the hysteria and the rioting and the bullying and the Kristallnacht breaking windows, and I mean that in the truest and historic sense of breaking windows, meaning that it is the early salvo in a very, very ugly chapter in America if we don't start standing up. That's what they want to do, to get rid of the president and the one country, maybe Israel as the second, as George Soros has said, that substantially stands in the way of what? In the way of one world government, socialist, communist, false utopian nightmare. That's what they really want. That's what they want. And now we're beginning to hear and see people who are too dumb to lie about it. Now, you know, they've gotten a lot further than I wish they would by telling the truth. I'd prefer if they'd tell the truth, because anything, no matter how painful and how infected, you know, it's like a wound that needs to be lanced. If Donald Trump was playing ball with these people, they wouldn't hate him. I don't think this whole masquerade, which is what we're watching on and off, is that they hate the president. No, they have trumped up hatred towards this president because he's not playing ball with them. And he stands in the way of everything they've been planning, possibly for decades. We don't know. A lot of things are conjecture. It's true. But there's a lot we do know by watching what we're seeing. Watch what they do, not what they say. So if what they want is a one world government, socialist, communist, false utopian nightmare, say that fast five times, you think I've lost my mind, fell off the turnip truck maybe, donned a tinfoil hat perhaps, hearing black helicopters? Well, the fact is, the people who are watching this and do not conclude that we are watching an attack on America from within, from radical Marxists who have no moral standing but who've decided that they do, then I don't know what they're watching. We are going to have on our first guest right after this break, and we will talk some at the end of this show about masks and about what I think we can do about some of this. It's not a panacea, but we got to start fighting back. Karen Cataline filling in for the great Keith Hansen here on the Keith Hansen Show. We'll be right back. There's a whole lot more to come, so stay tuned.
Ever wonder how the credit card companies make their money? Well, think about this. If you owe $25,000 on five different credit cards and you make your minimum payments every month, here's what it's going to cost you. Are you sitting down? You'll shell out over $13,000 in additional interest, and it's going to take over 13 years to pay off your original $25,000 balance. That's how they make money. Now it's your turn to fight back by calling the Debt Solution Network. We'll work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. We promise we can and will reduce your debt. Call right now for a free 15-minute debt analysis.
800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. That's 800-593-0298.
The American Red Cross urgently needs blood and platelet donations and asks all healthy donors to schedule an appointment to give now. With the coronavirus outbreak, it is important to maintain a sufficient blood supply. Your blood donation is critical and can help save lives. Please schedule an appointment today. Download the Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS today. You can make a difference.
Attention homeowners. Do you have a house that's in need of serious repairs? Do you have tenants that never seem to make their monthly payments? How about code violations, past due taxes, or maintenance costs you just can't afford? Then call my friends right now at Quick Cash Offer. They specialize in buying any home, no matter how ugly the situation. Turn that problem property into cash right now. It's just that simple. One call and you can get rid of that home headache forever. They buy the ugliest houses with instant closings, instant cash, and huge savings. Plus, there are no realtor fees, no listing fees, and no repair costs. Just cash in your hands for that painful property. They're buying a few more houses in your neighborhood this month. So take advantage of this cash offer and call Quick Cash Offer now.
800-799-5138. 800-799-5138. That's 800-799-5138.
Thank you for staying with us. This is the Keith Hansen Show. I'm your happy fill-in host, Karen Cataline. Great to be with you on this Thursday, July 9th, 2020. And we have a good friend of mine, Ted Harvey, former state senator. Ted Harvey is also, this is a little about his background. I mean, he's been around for a while. He served as a White House staffer under President Ronald Reagan, district office manager for Congressman Joel Heffley, Colorado's House of Representatives. He was a Colorado delegate at the GOP convention and chairman, this is my favorite because this is right now, of the Committee to Defend the President PAC. Welcome, Ted Harvey, to the Keith Hansen Show.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I love having you on, Ted. And before we get started, I want to share with our audience this wonderful commercial that you just put out there, and then you can talk about it a little bit. Is that okay with you?
Great. Perfect.
Okay, great. It's a terrific commercial. It is 60 seconds, and here we go.
War, disease, hostile powers. The world is a crazy place. Does Joe Biden have the mental capacity to keep America safe?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
Is Joe Biden making any sense?
We don't always live up to it, but that's who we are.
That's hilarious. Now, can you imagine that man in a presidential debate with Donald Trump? There's not enough popcorn in the world.
All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
Is Joe Biden in mental decline?
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
Let him go.
Does Joe Biden have dementia?
I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
In a world losing its mind, we don't need a president who's already lost his.
Boy, that is good. Tell us about this ad and where it's playing. I want to listen to it. I'll watch it again after this is over. It's great.
Well, for your listeners who want to see it in real life, they can go to our website, committeetodefendthepresident.com, and they can see it there, or our Facebook page. It's all over our Facebook page as well. But our committee is running that commercial predominantly right now in Arizona. We were airing it on Fox News and on CNN nationally, but we are airing it right now in Arizona because that is a major swing state that we want to win. And the reason why we are airing this is because it is obvious, or it should be obvious, to anybody who's paying any attention that the former vice president doesn't have the same faculties that he used to have when he was a United States Senator. He used to be one of the most articulate spokespeople at the mic on the floor of the Senate.
And when he was just a leftist political hack.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But he is certainly cognitively slipping over the years, and the media is doing everything they can to cover it up. His campaign is hiding him in the basement, and every time he opens his mouth, he's sticking his foot in his mouth. And so we felt that it was important for this issue. I think it's going to be one of the most important issues moving into the election, is whether this guy has the cognitive ability to be the president of the United States. And I think most people, when they look at this, they're going to say, absolutely not. He does not have the ability to be the leader of the free world. And nobody else is going to ask this question. It's only going to be our PAC, that historically has pushed the envelope and asked the questions that have to be asked. That we're the only one that's going to do it. So we're running this commercial, and the media and the Democrats are freaking out about it.
Ted, we're talking to Ted Harvey, Committee to Defend the President PAC. It is such a deceitful thing under all this. It is so deceitful to run a candidate, and not only to have tried to throw everything but the kitchen sink at Donald Trump. Oh, he's mentally ill. He's this, he's that. Yeah, right. He's mentally, like, I'm tall and blonde. I didn't say that completely, you know. He's mentally ill, like I'm tall and blonde, and I'm neither one. But the deceit of telling the Democrats, oh, go ahead and support this guy because it'll really be the vice president who's going to be president someday, and to pull the wool over Americans' eyes, that is so cynical and so deceitful. How do you then make that clear? I think it is implicit in your ad, but that's who we're dealing with, because none of what they say things are about is really what it's about, right?
Well, what should be implicit in the ad is that he won't be the president of the United States. That he
right.
does not have the mental capacity to be the president of the United States. I'm not even sure it will be the vice president who is the president of the United
yes.
States. I think there is a very powerful cabal that is pulling the strings of the Democrat Party right now. And
yes.
The only evidence that you need is to look at what happened the day before the South Carolina primary for the Democrat Party, when there were five or six very strong candidates vying to win that primary, and the day before the election, all of them dropped out to clear the way for Joe Biden, who at that point had not won a state yet.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly he is the nominee. Who pulled those strings? Who made that call to say, you guys can't win, you don't have the ability to beat Donald Trump, so we're all going to go in for Joe Biden, and we're going to hide him?
I'm going to take a guess. Yeah. I'm going to take a guess
who
it was.
But
I'm going to take a guess. You know what? You want to know who it is? It's the same people that are telling Democrat governors to shut down states and tell people to stay home when they have zero deaths from coronavirus in March, and then attempt to re-shut them down and put us all in masks. Don't get me started. I'm already started. It's those same people. So Democrats who were elected to be governor.
You mean Joe Biden's not doing
that? No, I don't think it is, Ted. I think it's the same cabal you're talking about. I just don't know who it is. I think Democrats are notorious for top-down dictatorships, and they do it to their own party as well as what they're trying to do to us. Isn't that right?
Certainly that has been the modus operandi of the Democrat Party for the last 20 years, is that there are a very well-funded group of people here in Colorado that we know about that have taken over Colorado, and there's a very well-funded group of people on the national level that are dictating who is going to be running and winning the primaries for the Democrats, and then who will be the elected officials for the Democrats. And I think that the American people are sick and tired of that, both on the Republican side and the Democrat side, and that's why they came out in droves to elect Donald Trump, who is not a typical politician who could not be bought and paid for. And that's why both parts of the government are freaking out that Donald Trump is president of the United States, because they can't control it.
Well, and what they have planned for this country is diabolical. They want Marxist one world government. And there's a lot of very big moneyed people trying to make that happen in this country, and have for a long time.
Just look what's happening on the streets of America right now.
Exactly, Ted. That's why I love talking to you.
And the chaos that's going on in our country. Those guys are well-funded political activists that are destroying the inner cities of this country, and it is not just some spontaneous uprising.
No, it's planned chaos for a purpose. And I think more and more people are wising up to that. I know that Keith Hansen's, I'm losing my mind here. Keith Hansen's listeners certainly are wised up to that. Now all we have to do is get other people to wise up to it too. In our last few minutes left, Ted, this debate, you know, I love that little thing in your commercial that there isn't enough popcorn for a debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I'm just hoping, I want to know what you think, that they'll push and push and push for that debate, because to let him off the hook on that debate, that would be criminal. Everyone needs to see him on his feet. Everybody needs to see what he's like. 3 hours with Donald Trump. Couldn't wait. And they're going to try to say he shouldn't debate, and he can't debate because of coronavirus or some other stupid excuse that we all know is a lie.
Well, Thomas Friedman came out with a editorial today saying Biden shouldn't debate him unless Trump comes out with his tax returns, because it's not fair, because Biden's come out with his tax returns, or that there should be a truth meter to determine what is truth and what is not truth that's being said, and that those truth detectors will have 10 minutes after the debate. And if Trump doesn't agree to that, then we shouldn't have debate. That tells you how scared the Democrat Party and his leftist allies in the media is of having Joe Biden on stage with Donald Trump, because they know he will get destroyed. Even if Donald Trump wasn't on the stage and the media had to ask him questions and he was up there by himself, he would be destroyed by his own inability to cognitively answer any question that is put to him.
Yeah. I mean, think of what he said. Take care of the cure. We have to take care of the cure. You know, what was that one about fact? I can't remember, but it's just...
We choose fact over truth.
We choose fact over truth. Oh, my God. It's,
I mean, I have a whole litany. I have a whole litany. I could only put it in a one-minute commercial, but we had to cut down, you know, 20 minutes worth of material to get to 1 minute.
What is so amazing is... It is more than embarrassing, and what is so amazing is that these are the people that have been screaming at us that they have a moral superiority and they're our betters, and Donald Trump is unfit to be president. I mean, you can't understand how anybody in the so-called middle, and I'm not sure there is much of a middle left anymore, couldn't see that the people pointing the fingers are the ones that are so incredibly disingenuous and lying through their teeth. We only have a couple minutes left, a minute left. Tell everybody how they can support Committee to Defend the President so they can make a whole lot more commercials like this one. I love it.
Thank you. Go to our website, again, Committee to Defend the President, and .com, and hit our donation page and help us fund these commercials. I was just looking over another commercial that's even more hard-hitting that's going to be coming out in the next week. And we need money to get that out on Fox News and CNN, and the African-American community is who this commercial is going after. Follow us on Facebook at Committee to Defend the President. Follow us on Twitter at @defend_Trump. And help us out. We've got about 950,000 followers on Facebook. I'm trying to get to 1 million by the election day. And so if your listeners could go there and like us, we'd appreciate it.
Well, that is great. It is wonderful to have you, as always, Ted Harvey from Committee to Defend the President. And say that website one more time.
You bet. CommitteeToDefendThePresident.com, and they can see an op-ed that I had published on WorldNet Daily today as well that's talking about the Declaration of Independence and why Joe Biden is probably the most racist presidential candidate in American history.
Oh, scary. We got to run. Thank you so much, Ted, for joining us. You're listening to The Keith Hansen Show. Karen Cataline filling in on July 9th, 2020. We will be back with a wonderful guest right after this, and we'll talk about how come you can't sing in church. We'll be right back after this.
Ever wonder how the credit card companies make their money? Well, think about this. If you owe $25,000 on five different credit cards and you make your minimum payments every month, here's what it's going to cost you. Are you sitting down? You'll shell out over $13,000 in additional interest, and it's going to take over 13 years to pay off your original $25,000 balance. That's how they make money. Now it's your turn to fight back by calling the Debt Solution Network. We'll work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. We promise we can and will reduce your debt. Call right now for a free 15-minute debt analysis.
800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. That's 800-593-0298.
The American Red Cross urgently needs blood and platelet donations and asks all healthy donors to schedule an appointment to give now. With the coronavirus outbreak, it is important to maintain a sufficient blood supply. Your blood donation is critical and can help save lives. Please schedule an appointment today. Download the Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS today. You can make a difference.
Attention homeowners. Do you have a house that's in need of serious repairs? Do you have tenants that never seem to make their monthly payments? How about code violations, past due taxes, or maintenance costs you just can't afford? Then call my friends right now with Quick Cash Offer. They specialize in buying any home, no matter how ugly the situation. Turn that problem property into cash right now. It's just that simple. One call and you can get rid of that home headache forever. They buy the ugliest houses with instant closings, instant cash, and huge savings. Plus, there are no realtor fees, no listing fees, and no repair costs. Just cash in your hands for that painful property. They're buying a few more houses in your neighborhood this month. So take advantage of this cash offer and call Quick Cash Offer now.
800-799-5138. 800-799-5138. That's 800-799-5138.
Great to be with you as his fill-in host for tonight. Actually, we don't know. I might be filling in for him tomorrow, or maybe he'll be here. I don't know, but he doesn't have to twist my arm to come in and fill in for him. The Keith Hansen Show is powered by the Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. Please think about emailing Keith at keithontheair@gmail.com. That's Keith on the air at gmail.com. I am delighted to have with us from firstliberty.org. It is an attorney organization that fights for religious freedom. And oh my, do we have a lot to talk about with him. His name is Jeremy Dice from firstliberty.org. Welcome to the Keith Henson Show, Jeremy.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Great. Well, first, yes, it's our pleasure, really. Thanks for making the time. So tell us first about firstliberty.org. What are the main things that you are dedicated to? Because there's a lot of organizations out there, and I know yours is unique in several respects.
Yeah, First Liberty Institute is a nationwide legal organization whose mission is to defend religious liberty for all Americans. We do that by defending religious liberty in our houses of worship, in our schools, our military, and also throughout the public square. And, of course, you can read all about our cases across the country at firstliberty.org.
Great. Thank you. And, Jeremy, how long have you been? You're an attorney with First Liberty. How long have you been with them? And do you have a specialty other than religious freedom? I'm sure that's the main deal, right?
Yeah, look, I've been here, I think, now about 7 years, and I think my title kind of summarizes what it is that I do for the organization, which is I'm special counsel for litigation and communications, which just means that I'm special, I sue people, and I tell everybody about it. And we
it.
Of course, to preserve religious liberty.
Yeah, and it's not as if, Jeremy, that there's really any threat to religious liberty in this country right now. We only have the coronavirus being used as an excuse to discriminate against churches and synagogues and other places of worship. And the reason I'm having you on today is because when I heard that California decided you can't sing or chant in church, I said, we got to get an expert on. Tell us about that. Do you know if anybody who's already suing? And isn't it like an open and shut case, which, of course, you're going to have to make, right?
Yeah, look, it's a difficult case, and one I would hope would be open and shut, or at least simple. If it is open and shut, it has become so because there have been so many instances of people using their First Amendment freedoms to be able to walk through the streets of any major town in the state of California, sometimes by the thousands, and chant and sing in the streets in protest of whatever the issue of the day is. It happens to be right now, I think, racial justice or whatever it is they're calling it. But the bottom line is that the state has seemed unconcerned by what the New York Times has told us today is perhaps the largest movement of protests in the world ever. Between 15 and 25 million people across the country have taken to the streets in the last month making these protests, and many of them, again, have been singing and chanting, most of the time without a mask on. The difficulty that we're going to face here is convincing not only the governor but the public square, it seems like right now, that places of worship ought not to be so hindered. Even if they wear a mask right now, it seems like they're not even allowed to sing or to chant. And you know, in Christian circles, that comes down to be a very difficult thing. Christ told us that if we did not sing, the very rocks would cry out in praise to him. In Jewish circles, for instance, they have a tradition or a requirement in their faith to chant the Torah. And so if they can't chant the Torah, have a very difficult... Yeah, it's a very difficult thing to be able to conduct your services on the Sabbath.
Well, to say it's very difficult, forgive me, I find it frustrating, nothing personal, to hear it's very difficult, because that tells me that people are actually trying to comply with this preposterous, religiously discriminatory demand from one of the hardest left states, and that's hard to say these days, in the country. Nobody, in my opinion, in their right mind should comply with such an order or a demand. What say you?
Well, look, I am deeply in favor of individual liberty, and if synagogues or churches or mosques wish to be able to do their services with masks, then you know that's something we used to call freedom in this country. That's up to them. But I tend to side with you that when the government comes down and imposes those restrictions, that then have that substantial burden on the free exercise of religion for what seem to be maybe good-hearted reasons, but inequitably applied ones at that.
Good hearted.
Then I side on the side that says, look, let's allow freedom to go forward like it ought to occur here. Again, look, the government has kind of waived the argument, so to speak, because they've allowed literally millions of people to walk through the streets of California, masked or unmasked, singing and chanting. And so to say that they can do that in the streets because they're protesting an important issue that is important to the governor or to whatever city official of the day it is, but not allow the same thing to occur inside of a synagogue or a church or even on the lawn of a synagogue or church, well, that seems to be patently unfair and discriminatory.
You are so controlled and calm. When I heard this, I just couldn't believe it. Not only am I a singer and I'm Jewish, but the singling out of people of faith is horrendous because people of faith stand in the way of a socialist ideology. But getting back to, I had to throw that in, getting back to your legal expertise, doesn't it give citizens an extra protection that the very First Amendment of the Bill of Rights guarantees freedom of religion, the free exercise of religion? My God, we just had a Supreme Court ruling on that very thing with the Little Sisters of the Poor, didn't we?
It certainly does. And look, the reason I seem controlled and kind of nonplussed about it is because for the last 4 months, this is what we've been doing. You know, it just doesn't surprise me anymore that our elected officials are affected by what seems to be the truth serum embedded within this COVID-19 virus, which seems to expose their lust for power. You have governors and mayors that are threatening to shut down churches permanently. In the case of Mayor de Blasio, you've got Governor Pritzker in Illinois saying that churches may not even be able to meet for a year or more. And ultimately, yeah, we take some legal action, and they eventually back down either by will or by force. And that's okay, such as it is, but for goodness sakes, we've had to go and file lawsuits all over the country to do such menial things as, you know, driving to your church service and sitting in your car, listening over the radio in a shut and rolled up car to a sermon that is being uttered outside.
That
shouldn't
happened
be something
in Colorado.
That we're asking for the permission of the state to do. That ought to be rather not only clearly commonplace and reasonable, but simply perfect. I mean, there's no reason to oppose such a measure on these things. Look, so long as religious institutions are abiding by the guidelines of the CDC and their own reason, there should be no reason for the state to impose additional burdens that they selectively impose upon people of faith, but not on those who are walking through the streets in protest. Oddly enough, it's the same amendment that protects their right to protest that does protect their right to be able to engage in worship in their place of worship as well.
It's hardly a coincidence, in my opinion. Here's an off-the-wall question for you in our last couple of minutes. How, you know, as a talk show host, I'm always looking for motive in order to understand things, in order to understand why people are doing what they're doing. It seems like the only way that it does make sense. And so in your profession, in what you're doing, which is wonderful work to protect religious freedom for all of us, no matter what our religion, is there any place at all, maybe in court, for pointing out what the motive is to single out people of faith? Because frankly, from my perspective, people of faith have always been the enemy of Marxist socialists who want to be God not only in their universe, but in yours. And that's why they're harder on churches and synagogues than anybody else.
That's exactly right. And look, thankfully we've had people kind of revealing their own feelings about this whole thing with Mayor de Blasio and others that have kind of let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, on what they really feel. Look, a Marxist, a socialist government, a government that is kind of authoritarian in nature, can have no competition to their own authority.
Yes.
And that is why they are so stringent against people of faith, because people of faith say, no, there's an authority that is actually higher than you, Mr. Mayor, or you, Mr. Governor, or you, Mr. President, and we owe responsibility and allegiance to that divine being more so than we do even to the state itself. And so You got the New York Times this week saying that there has been a massive outbreak of coronavirus within churches. Well, you dig deeper and you find out it's only 650 cases since March in 40 or some churches of the 325,000 plus churches that are across the country. And that doesn't even begin to include synagogues and mosques and other places of worship that are engaged in the media as well. It simply exposes the incredible bias that we've seen all too often in the last couple of months of the intellectual elite and the governing elite that suggest that religious people are secondary. They're somehow incapable of proper hygiene and good health, and therefore we've got to kind of crack down on them to protect them from themselves and protect us from them as well. For goodness sakes, we've lived through the left's vision of religious liberty. Stay in your homes, worship virtually, don't go outside, and certainly don't take your religion to work because you can infect everybody. That's not the free exercise of religion that our founding fathers envisioned for us. No. We've survived it so far. Let us hope that we will maintain it going forward and be able to freely exercise our religion as the founding fathers called for us to do within our founding documents.
Well, and again, you're being so much nicer than I would be. and that's why there are people who make reasoned arguments and there are people that make ridiculously impassioned arguments. But that's not true, because there's a place in court for impassioned arguments, you know, like I don't know where he was. Give me liberty or give me death, that sort of thing. So not to be critical in any way, I'm so glad that you're here to talk about it. I think that it's very important to point out that they're doing this on purpose. I don't think it's because they don't think that people of faith are smart enough. I think that it fits along with the agenda, and I don't think you disagree there. I mean, look at the people they're attacking: private business, the economy, capitalism, people of faith. They've attacked the family up one side and down the other. There's 57 genders, self-sufficiency, masculinity, anything that is responsible for the health, for the greatness of America, as Donald Trump says, they've attacked, and they have avidly and consistently attacked. That's my thought. What do you think?
Look, I don't think we have to look any further than our friends in the Little Sisters of the Poor. For the last almost decade, they've simply said, "Let us live and operate our ministry according to the faith that we profess." These are celibate nuns who the government, for either the president of President Obama and his administration, or the government of Pennsylvania, they have in one way or another been trying to force these celibate nuns to provide birth control measures, abortive fashions, within their health plans for almost a solid decade now, with at least three cases, I think, now before the Supreme Court of the United States, to try to find some relief. The very fact that these nuns not only are persecuted like that by the government, but have had to actually find relief in the court of last resort no less than three times,
yes,
I think it speaks volumes to the fact that there is a genuine effort out there to condemn and cajole and frankly just simply castigate people of faith for daring to bring their religion out in the public square. Look, if you're a person of faith and you're listening right now, let me just assure you that there are groups like First Liberty Institute that are out there working to preserve your freedom to live, to learn, to do business according to your faith without any kind of repercussion by the government. But that is only as our efforts are only as strong as our support is found around throughout the rest of the country. Ronald Reagan said
the
best.
We have about 20 seconds, so thank you so much for your time. If you could tell me how to everybody can visit your website and support your organization, because that supports us.
Yeah, I'd encourage folks to go to firstliberty.org and not only read about our cases, but maybe sign up for our email alert so you know what's going on and how to best support the movement for religious liberty in this country.
Well, thank you so much for your expertise and your time. Jeremy Dice from firstliberty.org, thanks for joining us.
Thanks
when
for
we
having
come
me.
Back, My pleasure. When we come back, I'll have some thoughts about the masking of America and the masking of the truth when we get back, and some ideas about what can we do about all this, us one to another. You're listening to The Keith Hansen Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we'll be back right after this.
Ever wonder how the credit card companies make their money? Well, think about this. If you owe $25,000 on five different credit cards and you make your minimum payments every month, here's what it's going to cost you. Are you sitting down? You'll shell out over $13,000 in additional interest, and it's going to take over 13 years to pay off your original $25,000 balance. That's how they make money. Now it's your turn to fight back by calling the Debt Solution Network. We'll work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. We promise we can and will reduce your debt. Call right now for a free 15-minute debt analysis.
800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. That's 800-593-0298.
The American Red Cross urgently needs blood and platelet donations and asks all healthy donors to schedule an appointment to give now. With the coronavirus outbreak, it is important to maintain a sufficient blood supply. Your blood donation is critical and can help save lives. Please schedule an appointment today. Download the Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS today. You can make a difference.
Attention homeowners. Do you have a house that's in need of serious repairs? Do you have tenants that never seem to make their monthly payments? How about code violations, past due taxes, or maintenance costs you just can't afford? Then call my friends right now with Quick Cash Offer. They specialize in buying any home, no matter how ugly the situation. Turn that problem property into cash right now. It's just that simple. One call and you can get rid of that home headache forever. They buy the ugliest houses with instant closings, instant cash, and huge savings. Plus, there are no realtor fees, no listing fees, and no repair costs. Just cash in your hands for that painful property. They're buying a few more houses in your neighborhood this month. So take advantage of this cash offer and call Quick Cash Offer now.
800-799-5138. 800-799-5138. That's 800-799-5138.
You're listening to The Keith Hansen Show. It is great to be filling in for Keith. I'm Karen Cataline, and this show is powered by the Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. So please visit thekeithhansenshow.com or thehagmannreportlive.com, and you can get the podcast of this show and send it all over creation if you like, and all the archives of Keith Hansen and his show. So here are a few thoughts that I have at the end of all of this. We are right in the midst of some of the most serious attacks on this country from within, as I discussed at the beginning of the show. I have a piece on my website called Masking the Truth. It's not about the virus, it's about obedience. And we've been talking all hour, really, about what it is they really want. And for some reason, the culmination of whomever it is that's been organizing a lot of this, and I think it's a lot of people, but I don't think it's a very large group of people. These are people that don't want to be known. The only name we really know is George Soros. I don't think it's only him. I think there are others. And masking America seems to be part of that. In my humble opinion, not always so humble, I do believe that masks are a battleground that we're going to be fighting for a while. And it offers us a superb opportunity to stand up and start defying these irrational and unconstitutional dictates on America. This seems to be a very planned and very clear attack on America, in that they think that now's the time they can get away with it. It's possible that because Donald Trump put a crimp in their plans, that they've accelerated the attack. Maybe they would have taken a lot longer, God forbid, if Hillary had been elected. But that threw a wrench in the works. Thank God it did. No president that I know of has ever been attacked from within the way that this president has. But so in our last few minutes, I want to talk about what can we do. Well, they're giving us a roadmap. It's just that we're not organized. We're not community organizers like the previous president. And there really is a roadmap for defying these dictators. It's what our founders would have done. And that was the things that they are demanding that we do that make absolutely no sense, that are both being forced upon us, threatened upon us, bullied upon us, such as masks, which there is a huge disagreement on what the efficacy of those masks. There's not one bit of proof or even remotely agreement as to whether they're okay. And a lot of people believe they're not healthy and they can harm us. But that's not the argument. The argument is being forced to wear one. The argument is what it does to people. It makes them distrust one another and look down at their feet and obey. I'd like you to read this article that I wrote at my website, KarenKataline.com. It is on the full-length articles category on my front page. It has a stunning picture, which is just a little disturbing, of dominance and submission. It's not X-rated or anything, but I thought, well, it's perfect for this article. The title is called Masking the Truth. It's not about the virus. It's about obedience. You can find the article at, excuse me, my website, KarenKataline.com. Karen spelled the normal way, and I could do a whole monologue on the pejorativizing, is that a word, of my name, Karen. It is a reverse racist attack. No, I have a sense of humor about my name, but I don't think that's what they had in mind. I think the name Karen, and I'm getting off on a tangent again, but the name Karen, and there isn't a person alive who doesn't know that Karen is now an insult. It means a white middle-aged woman, which I happen to be, and one who's always complaining, which I probably do, but I don't take it personally. I take it as yet another leftist political agenda, because do you think in their wildest dreams, anybody in their wildest dreams would take a name and like Shaniqua, which is well known to be probably more common among black people, and say, we're going to make fun of the name Shaniqua. Well, not in your wildest dreams would they do that. Matter of fact, I went to school with several black people whose name was Karen, but they were in my generation. It's not uniquely a white name, but I've discovered that it's not a real common name today, like Mildred was when I was a kid. Nonetheless, I think we need to stop playing their game, not because I'd like my name to be restored to its previous anonymity. It's that it's playing their game. I hear a lot of conservatives that are always using the name Karen just so they can be cool. Don't be cool. It's not cool. But that being said, if you want to say what's on your mind and I don't like it, tough to me, because that's the First Amendment. So I also think we got to stop being so darn defensive. So I'm mixed about this issue, I guess you could say. And that gives me an opportunity to tell you my website, which is Karen Kataline, the last name spelled with a K as well, KataLine. And there you'll find this piece. So getting back to this piece, there are some good points, but we must stand up and fight back and say, I will not comply. That's what we have to do. I have quoted Gandhi before the movie, and he said, 100,000 Englishmen simply cannot control 350 million Indians if those Indians refuse to cooperate. It is time to stop cooperating with insanity, not just masks, but singing in church. You can't sing in church. I say sing louder. This is Karen Cataline wrapping up the show. And thanks to Keith Hansen and the Keith Hansen Show. I look forward to talking with you, possibly hearing you tomorrow, giving my show a call at Spouting Off. That's just about it for me. Stick a fork in me, not a cork in me. Stick a fork in me. I'm done.